coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Greetings, Earthlets, and welcome to the second edition of the 2000 AD Thrillcast, the only official 2000 AD podcast beaming direct into your aural sensors from the 2000 AD Nerve Center. For those of you who are just joining us, we're going to be focusing on the Judge Dredd Mega Collection over the coming weeks. This 80 edition hardback series is available through all good newsagents in the UK and Ireland, and it is the perfect way to get into Judge Dredd and his world. Thank you to everybody who listened to our inaugural episode 2 weeks ago. We had a fantastic response, so we thought we'd continue. I am Chief Publicity Droid Molchar, and this week I'm very pleased to be joined by Chief Editorial Droid Cybermat.
Hello.
And Chief Design Droid Pi-1.
Hello.
Now, you probably know them by their humanoid designations, which is Matt Smith and Simon Parr. They are the team who have brought you the Judge Dredd Mega Collection, and indeed many, many issues of 2000 AD in the Judge Dredd magazine over the past 10 years. So we're going to be talking this time about the Mega Collection, about the choices of story, and also a bit of the design. Now, Matt, the collection has been put together thematically rather than chronologically, like the Judge Dredd case files. That's right. And you're the person who's made the call on what's been included and when. Do you want to tell us a bit about your decision making process in that?
Okay. Well, when Hachette first came to us about the part works, because we already had the case files already up and running and have been going for 10 years this year. Case Files 1 will be getting a special 10th anniversary edition later this year.
Yeah,
get my plug in early.
Lovely.
the raison d'etre of the Case Files was every Dredd story published in chronological order from 2000 in the magazine. So the part works needed to be different from that, and so we thought we'd bring the stories together in group together thematically. First off, you get the most obvious choices were the epics. So you get each book, you get the Cursed Earth or Oz or Necropolis. But outside of that, then start bringing together books that sort of concentrate on particular areas of the Judge Dredd universe, whether it's like the Democracy storyline or the Dark Judges, or ancillary characters like Judge Anderson or Simping Detective or Cursed Earth Coburn or Devil in War. These books are all brought together like that, and when you get all 80 volumes, which I'm sure everyone listening to this will get all 80 volumes, not only will you get an amazing spine image of by Patrick Goddard and Dylan Teague of all the Judge Dredd world characters, you'll see the order in which they go from 1 to 80 kind of flows in a kind of semi-thought out order, where it goes through the Democracy storyline into Anderson, Judge Death, Dark Judges, into the epics.
Also, when they're all sat next to each other, the theme will carry through.
If you don't know, the order of publication is different to the order that the books are going to be numbered in.
Yeah. Yes, that's right.
Because like the first book, America, is issue one and volume one, isn't it?
So, yeah.
But like, I think what's issue
2?
Yeah, volume 21.
That's the way Hachette do their part works, is they release them out of order to encourage everyone to get the set to make it complete. So when you get them all together, you'll see a flow of themes from 1 to 80.
Okay. Now, in terms of the initial running order for the first few books, it can be a really subjective process to say which is the best Judge Dredd story to start with. I mean, we get asked it on like the Facebook page and on Twitter all the time. Where do I start? And for the first four of the collections, you've got America, you've got Mechanismo, you've got the Apocalypse War, and you've got Origins. Do you want to explain a bit about your thought process about why those were a good beginning point?
We were thinking right from the very beginning which would be the strongest Dredd stories to start on, and those stories are always kind of top of the list because they're considered not only kind of show Dredd at his best, you know, best light, whether it's, you know, the America story shows the experience of the citizens in relation to the judges, and the Apocalypse War shows, you know, Dredd almost as, you know, as a kind of a hero to an extent, you know, kind of leading this fight back against the invaders, and they're most, you know, amongst the most popular stories that have been published in sort of the last 38 years. So those are the ones that are kind of the top of the list, and also Hachette were keen to mix up the colour and the black and white to keep it kind of on a fairly sort of, it's kind of 60-40 across the whole 80 book range for how much black and white and how much colour material is there. So so Apocalypse War is kind of quite early to kind of to show this kind of the early stuff,
yeah,
up against the more more recent stuff like Origins. Obviously is only, you know, about 6 years old.
Okay. Now, we're going to talk about Mechanismo in a bit more detail in a minute. What sort of things have we got coming up after the initial four issues?
So then we've got Anderson Shambhala, the first of the Anderson volumes, which will concentrate on the Arthur Ranson material from the magazine.
The beautiful Arthur Ranson.
Lovely painted work. And then after that we've got the first of Devlin War volume, Swimming in Blood, which we'll call Swimming in Blood, and the sequel Red Tide, and then we've got the Heavy Mob, which is the first of the kind of group collections in that trying to bring together various series into one book. So you've got the two series of Holocaust 12, which has never been reprinted before outside of its first appearance in the magazine, which was written by John Smith and Chris Stanley, and first series was illustrated by Jim Murray and the second one by Clint Langley. And that series concentrates on the Holocaust squad judges who go in, they're kind of suicidal judges who go in and sort out disasters with very little chance of getting out alive. But that's those stories then backed up with Britsit Brute, the two series of that, which has never been reprinted before, written by Robbie Morrison, art by Nick Percival. Britsit Brutes are a member of the Britsit SAS judges, who again goes in and blows things up.
I do see a theme developing.
Yes,
here.
Again, that's the kind of the. The reasoning behind the title of the Heavy Mob. These are the guys with a badge in one hand and a rocket launcher in the other. And again, it's backed up with some Dredd stories featuring the Marines, like Debris, the Mike Carroll and PJ Holden story that ran a couple of years ago.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, these are sort of heavy armor stories. Heavy armor future cops. Oh. Where have we heard that before?
so let's focus on Mechanismo now. I was interested that that you chose this as the second collection because America is a very nuanced story. It presents quite a moral quandary about Judge Dredd, and we discussed that last time with Douglas Falk and Colin McNeil about how it really shows up the brutality and the kind of senseless adherence to the law the judges represent. Whereas Mechanismo, again, like you said earlier, it's a story where Dredd is a hero.
Yeah, I mean, it starts out as a sort of high concept story in what if the judges put robots on the streets to do their job for them, and it's always been, you know, it's kind of a question that the readers might have asked up to that point is why don't the judges just get robots to do them, because, you know, the judges are almost robots themselves. Why do they go through all this 15 years worth of training to become judges when they could just do robots do their job for them? And John Wagner answers this question in the first series, and why they don't use robots is the fact that they go wrong and they don't have the human touch that the judges bring to them. So it starts out as kind of like a semi kind of riff on RoboCop in, you know, what would happen if robots had the power of life and death over the citizens. And then over the course of the three series, it really brings Dredd into conflict with Magruder, who's chief judge at the time, because she's the one behind the Mechanismo program, And it sets up this whole tension between them, and Dredd basically saying, you know, you're not fit to be chief judge anymore. Your judgment is faulty, and that leads into the whole Dredd resigning and Wilderland story, which will be covered in another book further down the line. So it's actually sets up a very important part of Dredd continuity.
Oh, it's worth mentioning that was it Margaret Hilda Magruder, who is the chief judge at this point. She was originally chief judge and then took the long walk, which for those who don't know their Judge Dredd history, is where a judge who has come to the end of their useful life on the streets, either their judgment is impaired or they're just getting a bit too old, they have the choice to take the long walk either into the Cursed Earth, which is the vast radioactive desert that surrounds Mega City 1, or into the Undercity, which are the kind of catacomb-like ruins of old America that are buried beneath the city. Magruder actually took the long walk and returned, changed somewhat in the Necropolis storyline, which is another collection in the future in the Mega Collection. Slightly crazier. With a beard.
Yeah. Yeah, I always thought when I was younger, I always thought it was a bloke.
Really?
Yeah.
He
never sort of casually, or whatever stories. I mean, I was only reading Seathers that he casually at the time. But they never mentioned her first name, and she had a beard. So it was quite a shock a bit later on when I reread it and thought, hold on a sec.
Yeah. Well, she she has a massive impact on Dredd throughout the comics of the 90s, because like Matt says, you have the Wilderlands storyline where Dredd not only resigns but is arrested. I mean, I'm not going to give anything away, but there is a story at the end of Magruder's life which is probably one of the most touching stories that
she goes the way of the most chief judges do.
Yeah. but Mechanismo is the beginning of that.
It sets up a lot of what will John Wagner's very good at seeding these plot lines very early, whether through accident or design. He'll start something and then realise that this has all been building for the next 5 years, and comes to a climax.
I mean, one of the themes I like in Mechanismo is the fact that the personality of the robots is based on Dredd himself.
Yeah.
And the robots end up developing, as one of the characters says, a god complex, because they have all this power and their circuits completely overheat and they end up unable to control themselves. I mean, this came right after America had been published in the Judge Dredd magazine, and again, that's another searing comment on Dredd, that America portrayed them as robots who have no humanity.
Yeah.
And then he pulls it back and says, well, actually, the humanity that they do have is the only thing that stops them being these absolute terrible tyrants.
Yeah. I mean, your interview with Colin McNeil at the back of this volume, Colin mentions that the square-jawed look of the Mechanismo robots is based on Dredd. I mean, it's this huge chin beneath the helmet. So they are kind of almost parodies of Dredd himself. And the fact that their programming is based on Dredd's comportment, which is his self-written handbook on what it means to be a judge and how a judge should conduct themselves. So they are, these machines that are parodies of Dredd. But Dredd doesn't like them because they don't have the humanity that you need to be a judge.
It's curious that the one element that Dredd thinks they don't have is the one element that I think everybody assumes Dredd doesn't have to begin with.
Dredd's always, anyone talks about, you know, sort of Judge Dredd as a sort of automaton kind of character. You know, he'll just enforces the law with no care for anything outside of that. But you see these senses of personality and little flashes of humanity you get in some of the stories. That he's a lot more than that.
So one of the things you mentioned, Matt, is about how we're looking at the epics, we're looking at the big storylines to begin with, just to give people a grounding in Judge Dredd and his world. What's your favourite Judge Dredd epic story?
I would say Necropolis was always one of my my favourite epics. Because it had a very, very real consistency to it. I always felt some of the ones that were a bit more episodic, like The Cursed Earth or Oz, where the art tended to chop and change, especially Oz. I always felt it was a little bit bitty and a little bit and now this happens, and now this happens, and now Dredd meets this and this. And Oz has this kind of gaping coincidence in it that that the super surf is held in Oz, and also that's where the Judder happens to be, which are the two storylines that kind of coincide right at the very end, which is kind of a bit slightly convenient. But Necropolis, because Carlos was on it all the way through, and did such amazing kind of painted artwork on it, because this is back in the 1990 when he was looked like he was colouring with felt tip pens and stuff. It has a lovely consistency to it, and it's got a great build up to it. And this was a real sense of this was a huge storyline, a real sense of atmosphere to it. So that remains one of my favourites. But I mean, the recent ones as well of Day of Chaos, which will be within the mega collection, absolutely huge story.
That's another one that goes back to what you were saying about pulling together threads from years and years worth of stories, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's all sorts of things going on in the background of that.
But the nice thing about them, though, is that you don't have to know what those threads are to enjoy it.
No, absolutely.
That's the power of John Wagner's storytelling, is that you can enjoy them on two levels.
Yeah.
If you're new to Dredd, you can just come in and go, yeah, well, this is happening, this is terrible, there's a story here. But if you know... you're talking about Day of Chaos. If you know about the Apocalypse War, if you know about the history of Orlok the Assassin,
then
that's fantastic. But you don't need to know that in order to enjoy it. Which you may disagree with me. I think that's a fairly revolutionary way of dealing with continuity.
The fact that Dredd's been this ongoing story every week, and for the most part, you know, it's developed out of the previous stories. You know, it's. It hasn't forgotten. Well, for the most part, it hasn't forgotten something. And
flying rats. That's all I'm saying. For those of you who know what I mean when I say flying rats,
I don't know.
Do you not know? Okay. Right. Okay. Yeah. Right.
It's it really builds on its backstory, its back history, and so that's why, you know, it's nice to have like. This, you know, this whole collection. Go, you get the sense of what's come before and how it you know impacts on future stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, another two books that were in the mega collection are the Doomsday Scenario volumes, which haven't been seen since Pamlin first published them as graphic novels back in the
90s. We've been meaning to do those for ages. I never quite got around to it.
Trying to put together those was actually quite hard, because I was trying to find how many stories you needed to have to be able to understand what was going on.
Yeah.
Because there's all this stuff with DeMarco from the Pit, which is another volume in the Mega Collection. But then she comes into a character on her own right, and then she ends up goes off on her own particular career path. And there's all this stuff with the villain. What's his name?
Marcos.
Nero Narcos.
And again, he's been seeded earlier as this kind of this head of the bad friends organisation. And there's lots of kind of bits and bobs with him about what he's up to, and then he makes his play and brings in, and there's this whole second robot revolution. So it became a real kind of challenge to think, well, what stories can I put in? And more importantly, what stories do I have to leave out to get this into the page length that you needed? Because I did say to Hachette, you know, how how big can I get away with it? But I think if I fit in those stories that I need, and in the end, I had to kind of pare it down a bit.
Right.
So, I mean, anyway, anyone sort of buying, getting into the Mega Collection thinking they're going to get every single Dredge story that's ever been published, they're not, because there isn't the room. But it is a good way to, if you like what you read and you want to know what happened in a particular story, then you know this will send you off, and you can search out the other collections.
Because one of the questions we do get asked an awful lot is, you know, where do I start? And with the case files, you know, it's all in chronological order, but we're only up to a certain point, and we can only bring out so many case files per year.
I always get people to read Case Files 5, yeah, just because that's my personal favourite. It's got so much good stuff in it.
Well, the thing is, that is basically doing what the Mega Collection is doing that for you, you know, without having to dip into a series partway through. It's saying, well, these are the things you need to know, these are the important volumes you need to read, and then we can catch up on the rest, and you can begin to see the big jigsaw into which everything fits. What's your favourite epic pie?
I really like the build up to the Apocalypse War, so Blockmania. Just got so much fun out, and it's kind of, you know, I like the fact that the kind of judges are a step behind the entire way, which you know, it's good. Nice art, that's it.
Short but sweet. My favourite is the Pit.
Oh really? Right, okay.
Just because that represents the number one, it represents the transition from being an almost purely sci-fi action strip to being a police procedural. That's the first time you really, really see Wagner do that kind of, you know, slightly episodic. These are beat cops, you know, they've got everyday problems to deal with, and he's done it many, many times since. But that was the first time that it really felt as if it had all come together and was really great. And just that first picture of Dredd. Well, he just says, you know, my name is Dredd, I'm a stickler. Could there be a better summation of his entire existence than that sentence? Certainly something like Mechanismo sits really nicely in between all of these big epics, because it kicks off at least one epic.
Yeah.
And provides a kind of chapter break for the Necropolis epic as well. Because you had Necropolis.
That's right. Yeah, I mean the reason they brought in these robot judges is to boost their the police force, because they've had both Necropolis and Judgment Day, which is when they came under attack by zombies, that basically decimated a lot of the city. So that's the chief reason that they bring in these robots to help them out. So yeah, again, it's kind of like sort of. A sort of ongoing kind of building on what's gone before.
That's interesting, actually, because it's not something we do normally with our books, is it? They tend to, I mean, like Case Files is, once you've done one, you know what the next one's going to be, and actually, kind of, there's a much more planning of this whole series than we do for our normal graphic novel range, which just tends to be, you know, what's about the right length, what's coming soon, what's been popular recently. It's kind of very reactive, whereas actually we've been sort of quite proactive in deciding how to do this. Like, you know, little things as well, like doing the spines. I've been nervous all the way through, because obviously I've got to work out the spine length for the full series before I can make any of the spines. So I'm terrified that one of them's like going to be a millimetre off.
Oh God, don't say that.
We'll get to issue 79, and you'll find out that half of Lenny Zero's face is missing.
Someone listening to this is like a person who wants.
Yeah,
perfect spines. They'll be twitching at just the very thought of that.
I'm terrified.
No, the Mega Collection is a really beautiful way of presenting Judge Dredd's adventures, and around about 200 pages each, with the spine image, with the beautiful covers, some of which will feature newly commissioned artwork, and hardback for. When it becomes the regular series, it's going to be $9.99 a fortnight. You can't get hardback 200-page graphic novels for under a tenner these days.
Certainly our own books, and I shouldn't say it, certainly our own books are more expensive than that.
It's a great way to get a beautiful presentation piece for your shelves, but also to get all of the history that you need to know about Judge Dredd, and a collection that will last you for a very, very long time, and certainly one that, that we are enjoying producing because it's reintroducing us to stories and collections that we've not read for a long time. Pi, I'm going to come on to you now. You have designed the entire series, or are designing the yes. entire series, and one of the things that's most striking are the covers for the Mega Collection, which are black and white with a nice bit of spot colour. It's a hell of a bold design to go with. Do you want to tell us a bit about the process and how you came up, because there's like an infinite number of ways you could have done this?
Yeah, well, I was quite surprised when we first had a meeting with Hachette, Sarah Gale, the managing editor there. Like we went to have a chat about what they might like to do, and we'd seen some of the other collections they'd done. Like they did a Marvel collection, which had a kind of very kind of boring cover design, really. It was all kind of serifed fonts and an inset cover image. And I thought, well, I had something fairly conservative in mind, really, just sort of something that they'd like. But actually, I was quite surprised by how open they were to doing something a bit more original and interesting. And Sarah had brought along a load of photos she'd taken in like a French comic shop of some Batman editions they'd seen, with like just a bit of black and white art on the cover and a spot colour, and they looked really cool. So I was quite sort of enthused by that, really, because it's nice to have someone who actually sort of would appreciate something different. So we went from there, and I initially had it because I was aware to start with that a lot of the Batman covers were probably done specifically for those collections, whereas we're going to be working with sort of things that exist already. And with a lot of the 90s having fully painted art and digital art and stuff like that, we're sometimes going to struggle for black and white covers. And you're certainly, line work covers, which is what these things needed. So my initial design was kind of grey and a bit more tonal, rather than being so harsh and contrasty. It was a bit more range to it. But they kind of stuck to the guns and made me pare it back a bit, and I'm kind of glad that, which obviously, anytime people sort of make you change your work, it's annoying. But I'm glad they did, because I think they're much stronger for it. As I mentioned, the black and white stuff, Mechanismo is a good example of one that we were struggling to find black and white art for the cover for, because it's all fully painted and all the backup stories are fully sort of painted. There's no line work in there. So we got Colin to redraw the cover that I liked the most, in kind of his current style in black and white, and it looks awesome. I hope we get to do that on some future ones, because I think it looks nice.
Yeah, because like you say, it is a hell of a challenge when there's so much beautiful cover artwork from over the years, but a lot of it is painted, a lot of it is colour.
Yeah, and recently we've had, like we were doing last week, we were putting together the Devil in War book, and that was another one that was quite difficult because I wanted to use some Sean Phillips art, but the only black and white stuff he's done was a random illustration from a text story. And it wasn't quite right. You don't want the introduction to your character of a bloke sitting in the bath. I can't remember how he solved that in the end. I found something, but yeah, I tried. That was the first one I was saying to Sarah, that we're going to have to use some black and white paint, some grayscale painted art. But we found a way around it.
Cool. What's it like for you as a designer to have such a blank canvas to work with to begin with?
It's quite difficult, actually. Like, you kind of, especially as we've done, I've lost count of the amount of Judge Death books that I've designed. The amount of reprints I've done of Jedress's Death or whatever is unbelievable. So it was quite nice to have someone like Sarah and Matt's or Ben's input, obviously, as well. Actually paring it back and stopping me doing too much. So I've tried to keep them as simple as possible, really. There's a lot of books to do, so practicality comes into it somewhat.
Now, you said you've done a lot of reprint volumes, and there are staple favourites that come up again and again and again. Has there been anything in this initial run of books that we've done so far where you've been able to sit back and go, actually, that's a moment that I didn't appreciate before, or it's reminded you of something that you enjoyed?
Yeah, I've got to say, actually, the first Devil in War story is it's really kind of atmospheric. It's sort of, I was saying to Matt, you kind of have reading it again, you can almost have the soundtrack as like screams echoing around a swimming pool, out of the whole time you're reading it. And I quite like that about it. I enjoyed it more than I remembered I did.
Yeah.
That was good fun.
Well, Devlin War is one of the collections that's coming up in the future. He is a Vatican City exorcist who's sent to an underwater prison that is apparently infested with vampires. Beautiful Sean Phillips artwork from the early 90s when he was doing fully painted stuff. So that's definitely one to watch out for. I want to talk about, we've just talked about Colin's line work on the cover. Now, obviously, his style is very different now to how it was in the 90s. But I think I mentioned this to him last time we did a thrill cast. I love the fact that his Mega City 1 is so sunny. It's just these wonderful, beautiful blue skies, and everything is yellow and orange. And I remember reading this at the time when I was a teenager, thinking, actually, that looks quite nice.
Yeah. You know? And then, yeah, you get then someone's head explodes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Spatter of blood all over the place. Now, it's not just Colin in here and with the Mechanismo stuff. You've also got Peter Doherty and...
Manuel Benet.
No, I keep reading that as Manuel Bennett. I can't help it.
was Manuel Bennett somebody who so you've got me saying it now. Manuel Bennett.
I don't know if it's
Manuel Bennett.
Apologies if Manuel. That person or any of their friends is listening. That's awful. But we've also got the first appearance in the Mega Collection of Jock's artwork.
Yeah.
I'm sure anyone who reads comics knows who Jock is. He's gone on to massive fame and success on series like Batman and The Losers, and currently Witches with Scott Snyder for Image Comics. I mean, this is quite an early example of his artwork, isn't it?
Yeah, it's actually that Safe Hand story is the first Judge Dredd story I commissioned, I think.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was just taking over from Andy Diggle at the end of 2001.
Right.
That was originally published sort of in early 2002. So that was one of the first wrist stories I ever got an artist to draw.
Right.
And it's one of his early ones.
So why did you include it in the Mechanismo collection?
Yeah, because all the Mega Collection books are around 200 pages length. I think the biggest one is about 250, and the smallest one is about 192 maybe. To kind of bulk up the page count, I throw in a couple of backup stories. So in that one, you've got, because the Mechanismo is about robots on the rampage, you've got Safe Hands, which is written by Gordon Rennie and art by Jock, is about a medical droid on the loose, and Sam is the other backup story written by John Wagner and Art Bell. The Val C. Mikes, the American artist who penciled Judge Dredd versus Lobo, and again about a bomb robot set to go off. a bit of light relief.
Has it been nice sort of going back through the archives and finding little gems that
I mean, when I was going through the all through the list of the list of stories and trying to fit the themed books together, trying to find stories that kind of had a similar kind of subject matter. It was quite interesting. Like, there's a Heavy Metal Dread collection coming up later down the line. It collects all the stories that came under the Heavy Metal Dread banner. So all the Bisley and John Hicklinton work, but that didn't come quite enough. So I went around and found all the Dread stories that have music in them. So you got Who Killed Pug Ugly. and Muzak Killer, and the sequels of Muzak Killer.
Yeah.
You know, Keith, I was talking of Pug Ugly. You know, Keith has written like a full song. He took like the opening paragraph of the Pug Uglies, sort of, that sings in the strip, and then wrote a Hey Pig, and wrote a full song from it, which he plans to record. So that'll be on iTunes soon.
Yeah, that's our graphic novel editor, Rob O'Keefe, who has some novel ideas about
a great many things.
Yeah. But yeah, so Mechanismo is out today from all good news agents in the UK and Ireland. It's priced at $6.99 and is the second collection of the Judge Dredd, the mega collection from Hachette Partworks and 2000 AD. It's got gorgeous Colin McNeil, Peter Doherty artwork in there, along with Jock and Val Simix and Manuel Benet.
That's right.
Yay. It's definitely worth getting, not just because it's a rollicking story, but also that when you delve a little deeper, not unlike in America, when you delve a little deeper, there's a lot of themes going on there that have long-term effects on Judge Dredd and his world. I want to thank Matt and Pi for joining me for the second 2000 AD Thrillcast, and thank you for listening, everyone. Hopefully this should be on iTunes. You can also catch us on SoundCloud. Please do follow 2000 AD on social media. That's 2000 AD at Twitter, 2000 AD at Facebook, and 2000 AD on Tumblr. If you'd like to sign up to the weekly email newsletters from 2000 AD, then just go to www.2000adonline.com/thrillmail. If you'd like to subscribe to the Judge Dredd the Mega Collection, please go to www.judgedreadcollection.com, where you can subscribe, get them delivered to your door, and get some absolutely incredible free gifts. And look forward to many, many months of incredible Judge Dredd stories and artwork delivered straight to you. So thank you very much indeed for listening to the second 2000 AD Thrillcast. Splundig Verthrig Earthlitz.
Bye.
Bye.